This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the regular Paradox podcast known as the Doxcast. I am your host, Richard Early. I am not just a host, I'm also the owner of Paradox Comics. That was supposed to be funny. I'm.
He liked it so much he bought the company.
I did. So I'm joined today by two special guests who you will recognize. One of them is my regular co-host, the always crashing Josh Trumbo.
It's crashing.
How's
good
it going?
That's true, man. Oh, I got a need for speed.
Yeah. And his cohort in crime, the abominable Paul Tebbin.
Thank you. I really appreciate that introduction. Abominable. I don't think I've ever been described that way.
Not to your face.
Not to my face.
I couldn't think of anything else for kamikaze off the top of my head. So
crashing works.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's not funny, but...
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. Neither are we, Rich. Neither are we.
So, real quick, the Doxcast is a weekly podcast featuring all things nerd related to Paradox Comics and Cards in the Fargo-Moorhead community, and we air Monday mornings on iTunes and on our website. We tend to record once a month in blocks, although we're breaking that on this one. So if you're watching us on Twitch or Facebook, please feel free to send comments or questions to the guys. If you are listening to this, you can send us questions or comments on Facebook. We will not reply during the podcast.
But we will reply later, right?
Yes,
that's,
sure.
You absolutely. Paul will reply to you later.
No, personally. Rich will. Yeah. Rich will do that.
So today we're mixing up a little bit. This is the Kamikaze Snowman episode. So yeah, Josh is our regular co-host, but we've done it several times, but we haven't done it for quite a while. Talked about what Josh does for a real job, which is to be part of the internationally known comedic super team
The
Kamikaze Snowman.
I think calling it a real job is misleading. I think
real job.
All right, that is my real job. My career, if you ask me full time.
Do you want to be, do 100%. You want, well, you should actually do it that way, right? Because, like, don't think of being a laser tech specialist, laser printer tech specialist.
I'll just leave it with laser. I think that's better.
Call that your side job and call the snowman your real job.
Well, it's the one that I actually care about.
Ooh!
So
you don't care about lasers? What have they done to you?
I have a comment from Laser Systems.
Yeah. Well, now that the Kamikaze Snowman is my full-time job, welcome to my life falling apart.
Well done. We're just here to watch it burn.
So I this is going to be a weird podcast because I have to leave in a few minutes, so I'm basically just here to say you guys. I'm not that interested in your company group, so
really?
I can't really stick around for 45 minutes to learn about it.
No, the podcast is only going to be 15 minutes today. Yeah. That's it.
Rich has to go and wash his hair.
So
got that line in high school.
here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, but I want to go back to the very beginning.
Make sure you ask a question that takes 45 minutes to answer. You get one shot at this.
Very open-ended.
I want to know, where did the Kamikaze Snowman come from in the first place? And you can take that as far back as you want. Like, when you were like five, where you were like, I want to be a comedy guy, you know, or... Or, like, where'd you guys meet? Where did the name come from? Where did the premise come from? Like, how did you know it was something you want to do?
I will start that because it's funny that you say the age of five, what did we want to do? Because I grew up and my favorite movie was The Ghostbusters. So I wanted to be a Ghostbuster. And I would say this is pretty close. We're comedic. We don't bust ghosts. We do dress in uniforms.
I bust ghosts.
Although
we don't
proton packs or anything like that.
Well,
but we have the comedy aspect from the Ghostbusters movie. So I'll take that.
Do you get a lot of random phone calls in the middle of the night asking for supernatural assistance? Or?
Well, no.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, so I have to give... Okay, so I don't think I ever, growing up, expected to do comedy. although at a very young age I was exposed to the artistic stylings of Mr. Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah.
Who Paul and I got to see in concert. It was my fourth time seeing him just last week.
Mm-hmm.
And fantastic performer and brilliant artist. If you ever get a chance to see him perform, please do so. It's great. But I always loved him and his style of comedy, and I think a lot of what he does, we don't do parodies. We don't do straight-up parodies of songs, but a lot of what he does with his originals, where he does kind of a style parody, we've adopted a lot of that. We've kind of also taken on, most of our music is clean. We do have a few songs that we play for select audiences that toe the line, mm-hmm. or just flat-out crossover.
Yeah.
So that was definitely an influence, but even listening to Weird Al, I never really thought to myself, oh, I'm going to be a parody, comedy music guy or anything like that. It all kind of came about rather naturally, I suppose, with a mutual friend of ours and the third member of the band who currently lives in Colorado, so he doesn't get to join us for many things currently. Because even though we're internationally famous, we cannot afford to bring him in to perform with us.
Right.
That's okay. Someday he'll be the third snowman.
He is the third snowman. Someday when the technology is good enough, maybe we can, bring a little
hologram.
Yeah, hologram, and he'll be on stage with us.
Nice. He'll form his own splinter group or something, and we'll go on that way. But that's Terry Brown, or Terrence Brown II, if you want to take his full artist name.
Mm-hmm.
Paul has known Terry since kindergarten, and I love the story, so I make Paul tell it all the time. Tell him how you met.
So I was in kindergarten, and for probably one of the first few days of kindergarten, I didn't know too many kids. I think I knew one kid from my preschool there, but Michael, as he was known there, that's what he went by. He came up to me out of the blue, and he said, "Do I know you?" And I said, "Sure you do." And I give him a big hug, and we've been best friends ever since.
Yeah.
Because that's how you make friends, right there.
I'm a little concerned that even at the age of 5, he was going under an assumed name.
Michael?
Yeah.
Well, that is his middle name, so now you know his full name.
Yeah. His dad was also Terry. He is the second.
Yes.
And so he went under Michael for many years.
But yeah, that's how I got to know him. I just, told him he knew me. When he didn't, in fact. But I fooled him.
He's been hating you ever since.
Probably.
I met Terry in junior high because my family moved back to Aberdeen.
Did he say, "Hi, my name is Michael. Do I know you?"
Yeah,
That would have been hilarious if that had worked out. No, if he had done that, I would have been
He thought I was a kid from his preschool because he thought I looked familiar. Turns out I wasn't, but I just said, "Sure you do." And he liked the response so much.
He went on
and I was so enthusiastic. He's like, "This is great. Well, who are you really?" And then
he
became
friends.
He
went on to use that in bars and strip clubs all over the Midwest following up as well.
Little
right?
do you know, he's been using that line for years prior.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he meets a lot of people that way.
But no, I met him in junior high, and we just synced up. Our sense of humor was very similar. And so we ended up just kind of starting to hang out. We shot little short videos, and so I met Paul through Terry.
Yeah.
And the three of us made dumb little skits and movies.
Lots
and stuff.
Of short movies on VHS and
SVHS.
SVHS.
Terry was an auteur.
Yes, auteur. Yeah, well, and he had an editing station, all the stuff that his dad bought for him. So he had all this editing gear. So we'd make movies. That was primarily what we'd do. And then we ended up shooting some movies in high school, actually, that were quite fun, takeoffs of some of our favorite movies, like Mallrats at the time.
Very Kevin Smith bent to what we were doing.
But, we would write scripts and act them out and make these movies and edit them and show them to people. It was a lot of fun. It was a blast.
Yeah. But at some point in there, around the eighth grade, shortly before Terry and his family moved down to Mississippi, he and I one night, I was spending the night at his house, and we were in a strange mood, and so we just started making up lyrics.
Hey-o, ho.
Yeah.
Hey.
Come on, we were in junior high, Rich. That's just totally inappropriate. We took, one of those crummy little Casio keyboards that everybody had in the late 80s, early 90s, and started making up songs over the demo tracks, just improvising. You know, we put a tape recorder next to it and hit record, and then we came up with such brilliant songs as The Polka Potty and I Want to Make You Into a Saddle, and then in parentheses, and Ride You All Night Long.
Which is probably an actual name of a pop song.
You know, it could
out
be.
Out there. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Cisco did that or something.
I think that is.
It's a Wiz Khalifa feature.
Yeah. Somebody made a lot of money on that title.
Someone's going to at this point. Yeah. They're going to catch this and be like, that's my song.
That would require people to be watching or listening, John.
There are people watching.
They're out there. Hello, people.
And they said some very nice things about how they enjoyed us at CoreCon, and they're going to subscribe to the channel and stuff here. So thank you, guys. You're the real
heroes.
We
do have people that come to our shows, and they like it.
Yeah.
So listen, it is time for me to duck out.
Okay.
Our original plan for this was to sort of be a Kamikaze Snowman takeover of the Paradox podcast.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the real reason I'm getting out of the way. So these guys, for the rest of the podcast, are going to talk about I'll set you up a little bit. So the Snowmen have been around for a while now, and recently they have been up in their game. I don't know. Like, I don't want to make it sound like you didn't have game before or anything like that. But we have a new album released. By we, I mean you.
Yes.
We've appeared in conventions, and again, by we, I mean you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to... I want you to tell everybody, I want you to tell them, you finish telling the story of getting together and all that, but talk about hosting KeyCon, talk about the album, and all that kind of stuff, you know, and just what you do and why you do it, and have fun. And guys out there, gals, if you got questions, please ask, because, you know, they can sit around and talk about themselves. If you don't ask questions, it's just going to turn into, oh, Paul, you're so fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, Josh, you're so incredible.
No, that last part won't happen, though.
No.
The British accents probably will, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you
for taking over the podcast. So
absolutely, we
will you give it back afterwards. We'll do you
no, now get out.
Are you going to be like Senator Palpatine and declare yourself emperor for life? Okay.
let's
not
now
invoke
you have to bring
the
up the no.
That's
puts
what
everybody
he does,
in a sour
folks.
Mood.
Just...
So speaking of the prequels, what do you guys think of the prequels?
let's
start with that because we have a song that makes fun of that.
We do, actually. We do. Erica in the chat asked if we have any upcoming shows. Right now, the only thing we have upcoming is in September, we are going to be guests at Anime Fargo once again.
Correct.
So if you happen to be in the greater Fargo-Moorhead area, we would love to see you at Anime Fargo. It's a convention. It's anime-themed, of course. The focus is anime. But as you can tell from them bringing us in, people who have... absolutely nothing to do with anime.
Well, yes, that's true.
you can enjoy other things there as well, including us. So we may have a show coming up before then.
Maybe, hopefully. Yeah. We're looking to maybe do a CD release party, but we're still trying to put that together. Namely, that means I need to, you know, actually do my part, which is reach out to people and get things going. But if that doesn't happen, we're still going to do Anime Fargo, and there's going to be some really cool stuff. We figure since we're legitimate guests this year, you know, we're not just we're not hosting the event this year, so we got some cool stuff planned. Including, I mean, do we release this now?
That's why people tune into the podcast.
We're going to be Paul's spectacular
Paul's kick butt anime super spectacular spectacular
game show.
Yes,
and so it's going to be you know, we've all seen those Japanese game shows, wacky stuff all over. They, you know, all those Japanese game shows. There's tons of variety in those types of game shows, but it's always a lot of fun, a lot of energy. A lot of comedy. So we're going to try to do something along those lines and build this game show to be very interactive with the audience and obviously give away prizes and have a lot of fun along the way.
Some amazing prize support from Paradox Comics and Cards.
That's right.
Ding!
That's what Rich gets for leaving early.
Yes.
So we're doing that. We're also going to do our How to Write a Song and Other Songs panel. We've done that before. It's kind of... changed a little bit here and there, but that's a chance, kind of like this podcast, to talk with us, and we talk more about our songwriting process and you know, some of the songs in specific. So if you're wondering, hey, what were you thinking when you wrote that weird song, you can ask us there. Mm-hmm. You can ask us here too if you want, but that's what that one is going to be. And then we're also going to do a late night panel where we are going to play Red Dragon Inn, mm-hmm. which is a card game, if you're not familiar with it. But it's we're going to actually make it, it will be a drinking game.
Oh!
With alcoholic beverages.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be us and another friend of ours who actually owns the game and suggested we do this, and then another person, I'm not sure it's 100% decided yet if the person we've asked is going to be able to do it, so I'm not going to say who that is. We'll just say mystery guest.
Mystery guest.
For now.
Maybe. Possibly.
Well, we'll have somebody. Who it is a mystery.
Otherwise, it's just you and me drinking a lot.
Yes. So like I said, there's a lot to unpack from where we were going there.
If you have any other questions, fire them away. But
oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's at Anime Fargo in September, September 20. I can look up the date.
Yeah, why don't you do that? And our CD release party, if we get that going, hopefully that'll be somewhere towards the end of July or somewhere in August, I think, depending on what we can get put together. So check out kamikazesnowman.com. Takes you to our Facebook page. Just make sure you follow us on there.
The weekend of September 21st is Anime Fargo.
There you go.
Which we will be there.
And you can go to animefargo.org to get registered for your badge. Yep. So
like us on Facebook, them on Facebook, you'll see all that stuff. But.
Absolutely.
So let's take it back, Josh. Take it back.
Okay,
we were talking about
talked about the very first iteration of the Kamikaze Snowman. We didn't have a name at that point. Mm-hmm. That was me and Terry just making stuff up and being goofy. Cut to several years later, we're in high school. I go down to Mississippi to visit Terry one summer, and he is finishing up a short film for a contest titled Paranoid, the film, not the contest. And
that'd be a great contest.
Wouldn't it be? Paranoid. Just send in stuff.
Just send in your videos of you being paranoid. Who could be the most paranoid? What are your craziest ideas?
We should start that.
What are your most
Kamikaze
Snowman's
paranoid
ideas?
Contest.
Just weird people staring into the camera like Blair Witch Project. All right, let's go on.
Okay. So anyway, Terry had learned to play the guitar, and so he and I were...
What's that flashing?
Don't touch that, kid.
All right.
So... We were goofing around making up some songs again, and we ended up making up a song for his serious thriller short film, Paranoid, which was him playing and me just making up lyrics based on what happened in the movie. And it was just silly. You know, we got to about two verses before we broke down laughing hysterically. We recorded this, and he actually put it in over the end credits, because in the contest, your movie could be X number of minutes long, and then you had, like, a minute or 2 minutes for credits, and he had some time left. So after the credits mostly get done, suddenly it kicks into this just dumb song where we're talking about the stuff you just watched.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, well, of course, if we put the song on the movie, we have to put in a credit.
So what should the name of the band be?
So we threw around some ideas, and we eventually landed on the Kamikaze Snowmen. And the Kamikaze Snowmen were villains I put into a stream of consciousness comic book that I was doing at the time, which is just basically a sketchbook, and I'd just draw whatever I wanted, and which is an idea I stole from Terry. He did his, but mine is... I actually finished mine. I found it, and I read through it again, and I'm like, wow, I didn't remember finishing it.
Good job.
Thanks. I feel very accomplished.
You should sell it.
I should burn it. So that's where the Kamikaze Snowman came from.
We could publish pages of it as the Kamikaze Snowman.
Probably.
I think we should. Let's talk about that later.
All right. Put a pin in that. So that's where the Kamikaze Snowman came from. And we started off just improvising songs. You know, it was just kind of a goofy, fun thing. We played some for some friends of ours. Because we recorded everything that we did there, and people liked it and asked for a copy. So we started making CDs because CD burning technology was new at the time.
Watch out.
We're getting old.
Yeah.
I was in college, and my freshman college roommate worked at the campus bookstore and had access to a CD burner. And he's like, hey, I'll burn a CD for you. Like, that's awesome.
So no, burn 100. No.
Yeah. So we started burning CDs, and we sold some, and Terry and I continued because he moved up to Moorhead, where I was going to school. He started going to Moorhead State as well. And so we started recording more songs, and eventually Paul decided to
right.
Move
so
up
how
as well.
How do I fit into this thing? So as they were making all these great songs and stuff in high school, you know, a lot of times I was working and I wasn't there when you guys were making those songs, but I would come and I'd listen to the songs and, you know, add my own stuff that would inevitably devolve into fart jokes and stuff like that. But nonetheless, I'd add what I could. I wasn't really into music at the time. I think I played baritone, you know, for a year. I hadn't picked up drums. You know, I wasn't very musically inclined, right. But Terry could play the guitar, and here Trumbo was playing the guitar.
Started picking it up, yeah.
And so, you know, I would just beat on things, I guess, because I could do something. So I would every once in a while just beat along little beats and hang out with them while we were doing the stuff and maybe do some on a Casio keyboard. I think we did down in Mississippi when we were just joking around and making songs. Never really, you know, took it too seriously until I moved away and I went to college and actually started taking lessons for drums and all that stuff and got into it and really got into wanting to play. And wanted to really, you know, make quote unquote serious music with drums. And these guys were like making music in Moorhead, and it was hilarious. They'd send me CDs, and I'd listen to them all the time, and I'd watch the little videos that they'd put on the internet back then, and I just loved it. So we got together. We ended up playing like a live gig in Aberdeen a couple times at the Red Rooster Coffee House, which is still there in Aberdeen. I think they're moving locations maybe, but still a great organization there that supports local artists and live music. So shout out to Red Rooster.
Yeah, if you're ever in Aberdeen, stop by, get a cup of Joe.
Yeah, Dan does a great job. They're fantastic. It's a great place. So really open, awesome environment. So we got to have some great shows with our buddies Junebug, which is another great band. They're still around. They're making killer music and out of the cities, like legitimately great music. So Junebug's fantastic. But we got to play with these guys, and they supported us and liked our stuff and laughed. And I had such a great time that I decided I wanted to be a rock star. So so I practiced a lot and did a lot of other things with bands and stuff like that. But inevitably, in my time away, I just wasn't liking it and wasn't jiving. So I contacted and Josh and, you know, asked him if I could just move in with him. So I did. And I did in the fall of, the early 2000s, I guess. And then
2001.
And so at the time, and you know, part of that was just, I just want to play music and bum around and do that. And part of that was, well, I have this great, two great friends who are making music as the Kamikaze Snowmen, so we can do that and see where it takes us. And inevitably, Josh and I started with another band and did Cosmic Kibosh for a while and did all that stuff. And throughout the years, we did gigs, especially when I first got back into town, we did gigs as the Kamikaze Snowmen on campus as a trio. You know, Josh was there, I was there, and Terry was there. And Terry played guitar. Josh played guitar or bass at the time, too. Mm-hmm. And I played drums, and we could do legitimate, you know, musical sets if we wanted to. Of course, we always wanted to do what we wanted to do, which was have fun and make people laugh. But we did a lot of cool sets in the college environment. And that's where some people got to know us. People like Adam Quinnell, who you might know from some CoreCon events. He saw mostly Terry and Trumbo, but he saw us early on at MSUM doing our shtick and just loved it. And rightfully so, because we're great.
Paul, you're so great.
Yeah. So, but it was really cool. You know, there were some people who really dug it. And there's some old video footage. I love the one. There was a campus video production of like.
It was on the news. Yeah.
The opening
news.
Line was, some people would say the Kamikaze Snowmen aren't very good.
Yeah, that video is on our Facebook page, so you can find that. It's fantastic, because that is literally how it starts out. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to throw in a quick little side note here. The night that Paul got into town from throwing all his stuff in his car and driving across
literally,
country.
Yeah, like 40 hours to drive. Actually, I stopped in Rapid City and hung out there for a week and then drove the last 7 hours. But yeah, like in a week's time, I was from California here.
Yeah. And so the night he gets in, he comes in, brings in like a bag and his guitar and is like, let's make some music. So I'm like, okay. And we sat down and we recorded a song and called it Coffee, and that is on our new album, like that recording.
Yep.
Just because that recording, it still exists. It was still sitting on one of my old hard drives or a burned CD somewhere or something.
Yeah.
And it's one that we've always loved, and, you know, it's the recording quality isn't the best, but can hear in the background like crickets are chirping because we had the windows open. It was a hot summer night.
It was a hot summer night in Minnesota in August. You know, And I think it was before the school year started and all that stuff. But it was this calm night. And, yeah, you could hear the crickets out there. And it was. It was the night I got back. And that's, you know, pretty much
It's
where everything kind of started again, I think, officially.
Yeah. Time continued on. We kind of, like Paul said, we started another band, he and I and a couple other friends of ours. And we did that for a while. The Snowmen were kind of in and out, you know, every so often it would come up and we'd play something, but then it kind of went away for a number of years. And then Paul and I had been talking about doing something together because our one band had broken up. I think you were still doing the Legionnaires at that time.
Yep, so I was in another band, pretty busy with that. But
we were talking about getting together and doing something creative again because we, you know, we still hung out quite frequently, but we really didn't do anything musically or artistically together, and I was definitely wanting to do that. I think you were. I hope you were wanting to do that, and I just it's like
I went along with it.
Either way, and so we were discussing. We actually started recording a song that ended up being a Snowmen song called "Bubble Bubble Op Top Fizz," which is just this fun little funky tune.
Gosh, was that the start?
Yeah, because we recorded that.
Yeah, we
and
were
then. Adam Quinnell, who we mentioned, got a gig opening for Todd Barry.
Wow,
he's another very funny comedian. If you haven't heard of him, you should
keep in mind
look
him at up. The time Adam had not officially done
right. He had been thinking about doing stand up, but he had not actually done a stand up.
And the
stand up
scene at the time, I don't think was. I mean, there was stuff going on at
Courtney's had an
Courtney's
open mic
and
once
had an
a
open
month.
Mic. It was once a month, but it wasn't like it is today. Like today, you could go like any given day. Practically almost and do an open mic night at various bars because the community's grown up and a lot of people, you know, a lot of comics have risen up and they're doing a great job. But at the time that wasn't necessarily the case. So Adam kind of had to, he was both fortunate that wasn't the case because at the time, again, he just kind of went forward and got this gig. Maybe before having to do all those open mic gigs, that's maybe somebody today might have to do. So,
right. And so to prepare for it, he, set up a show in the basement of his apartment complex there, or, you know, it was a duplex or whatever the appropriate term is, and asked me if we would open for him.
Right.
And it was just, you know, invited a few friends over, had maybe a dozen people in there
or
something. Yeah,
the room was no bigger maybe than this room that we're recording this podcast in.
Yeah.
And there were just some chairs set up there. And we opened for him, and he asked us to open for him because, again, he saw us when he was in college
and
liked our thing, and obviously knew Trumbo and all that.
Yeah, and that was the first time we had played Snowmen stuff together, at least in a performance setting in years.
Mm-hmm.
And so based on that, and Adam will never let me forget that he did revive the Snowmen. That's his claim to fame now. Even
well,
though he's a fantastic comedian, I think he should ride
more on that.
And
all the other things that he's done on his own.
But that's what he goes with. And so we kind of did that again, and it felt good. It felt right. And, you know, podcasting was a thing at that point. It still is, but it was still kind of young. I think we didn't quite get in on the ground floor of podcasting, but it was something that was available. And we're like, well, hey, how about we do a podcast? That's
right.
A way to do things, still get it out to an audience, but not have any kind of real pressure to do anything good.
Right.
You know, we can just.
But it was enough pressure to keep creating, which is the important part.
Right.
So if you are doing a podcast, and our podcast was the idea was we'd come together and write a song, or try to write a song once a week, right?
So we'd get together and we'd write a song one week and we'd record it. We'd release the song, then the next week we would release the brainstorming session that we recorded
right.
where we wrote the song. So then we basically have, you know, a thing where this week we record and release a song, next week we release the brainstorming while we write the next song, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted for about 5 years.
Right.
And went through a few changes. We, you know, adjusted our schedule for releases, and we, towards the end there, we did about, I think it was 10 episodes under a more of a podcast format where we actually got together and we talked about things. We had guests from time to time, but we had still, the goal was still to record a new song and have that on there. And so during that process, we got hooked up. Well, we wrote a song called Ain't Gonna Play Your Metagame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this fun little jazzy tune that's all about, for you like D&D players, metagaming is, of course, using knowledge that you in real life have but your character in the game wouldn't have to try and beat the game. And it's generally looked down upon in gaming groups. So we wrote that song, and just kind of on a whim, we were like, well, you know, ValleyCon was a thing in town. We knew ValleyCon was a convention. Why don't we just talk to them and see if we can come in and shoot a music video real quick? You know, couldn't hurt. And this was like a week before the convention in 2010, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Yeah.
Or 2011. No, it was 2010. And so I contacted the head of ValleyCon and just said, hey, we're this band. We wrote this song. Would it be all right if we came in and shot a music video? He's like, yeah, absolutely. Come on in. Who do you need for a crew? Just give us names. We'll give you a badge. Come in. I was like, okay. Really blew me away. And so we did. We went in and shot a music video for Ain't Gonna Play Your Metagame. Put that out there. Through that, we ended up meeting someone, or through the internet we met them, and were interviewed. I was interviewed, I guess. It was just me. For their website, it's Father Geek, and it's a website that reviews board games from the perspective of a parent. And is this board game good? Do children enjoy it? Is there educational value? You know, that sort of a thing. And so in the process of this interview, the guy asked me if we would write a song about the forbidden love between a mind flayer and a beholder.
We said, of course we will.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so that's how... Beauty's in the Eye of the Beholder,
which is an 80s rock ballad, as it should be.
Yeah, crammed with as much references to the DMG and Player's Handbook that we could fit in there about Beholder's powers and Mind Flayer powers and the Underdark and Drow and Dwargar. All that stuff, yes. We crammed in there because we were avid Dungeons & Dragons fans. I think at the time we were going through a campaign. Anyway, we jammed that in there, and it was a lot of fun to make. So we were making these songs, and people were requesting for us to make these songs.
Right, and we went in and shot a music video for that at next year's ValleyCon. And then the year after that, in 2012, we were approached by CoreCon to come in as entertainment guests.
Right.
Which, again, blew us away. Like, this, the thought of this had never occurred to me. Like, right. In a million years, this is something that we can do and people want us to. And so we did. We went in and we performed at CoreCon. We did several shows. And it was a lot of fun, and they loved us, and we haven't left.
Yep.
Like, they can't get rid of us is basically what happened.
They've chained us to the hotel lobby. We're just there all year.
That's right.
But keep in mind, too, in addition to doing the podcasting and stuff, we were also branching out with comedian friends because Adam went on to have comedy shows, and we met other people in the comedy scene, people who we've incorporated into our Worst Gaming group and people we've had on the showcase. So because we found out that, you know, we're not a rock band. We're not going to play 3 hours. We're not going
to
play...
You don't go to a bar that's full of people.
And we had lots of trial and error, right? Yep. Like, we've had lots of things, but we're not going to play for an hour at a bar up for, like, you know...
Even the coffee house scene that we were kind of getting into in college.
Right.
I mean, it fits better, but it still wasn't quite the same as finding that niche
in
doing comedy
but
shows.
But the comedy scene and the comedy, that community, I'll call it a community, mm-hmm. is very, very – that makes a lot of sense for our stuff because we're able to work on the comedy aspect of the songs. And keep in mind before – you know, when we write the song, And anything can come out. It can be serious or it can be funny. Like, we just let that stuff fly, and whatever comes out, and that's the song. So then you look at a comedy show and you say, well, how do we – what song do we take and what do we incorporate into a comedy show? And why is this song going to be funny? Mm-hmm. Right? Or, you know, you try to cram some stuff in there. So there's a lot of experimentation that goes in with that and how you build your comedy show. And I think in the early days, you know, it was just a lot of straight up, here's our set and we're going to sing it, you know, type stuff. We didn't have as much banter. We didn't have like a routine. We didn't have the straight man.
Sometimes we would just come up with an overall gag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like a singular gag, and that would carry.
This show, Paul just had a lobotomy, and so he's just like smashing a toy conga drum.
And this one, the joke is Trumbo goes up and puts up a photo of Paul's face, and it's in memoriam because Paul is dead because Trumbo threw him out of the car as he was driving to the gig. But unfortunately for Trumbo, Paul arrives in the middle of the first song, and he's got scrapes all over his face, and he's bleeding, and he's got a bloody shirt.
Yeah.
And gags like that that we thought were just hilarious.
They went over well. A lot of them did.
Yeah.
Not all of them.
All of them are gonna hit, and that's fun,
But then we did start refining it, especially when it was just Paul and I doing the majority of these shows, since Terry, of course, is in absentia. And so we fell into this idea of doing the straight man and the buffoon, you know, like these old vaudeville acts, you know, Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, those sort of things. And so the idea became, let's have these characters where I'm the authority figure, I'm uptight, I'm this guy that's holding everything together, and Paul's just a lovable idiot. And those things are not terribly far away from real life, are they?
Sometimes.
And so that's how we strung the songs together, and that gave us more of an identity.
And then we could work in bits and write things, to go in between those songs. So we had little bits, you know, we're not just going to play a song and play a song and play a song. We have little bits between mm-hmm. them. And then, you know, we can improv bits. We can try things out. And a lot of that stuff kind of we worked out at maybe like open mic gigs or things like that, or opening up for friends. A friend was having a comedy show, and they wanted us on the bill, you know. So, of course, we're going to go, you know, drive out and almost drive into a lake and get there and play the comedy show. You know, things like that. So it was a lot of working on that routine and mm-hmm. refining that. And then, you know, also then through the CoreCon opportunities, because we were, you know, working on our comedy stuff, and then at the same time we were doing videos, and then mm-hmm. we started getting into CoreCon, we started doing conventions, and now all of a sudden we're stepping into, you know, being MCs and hosts mm-hmm. and, you know, doing the costume contest for the first time was...
Yeah, in 2013, we were at CoreCon, and they asked us maybe 5 minutes before it started if we would MC the kids' costume contest, because that was also opening ceremonies that year. The computer started updating in the middle. They have a computer that does a slideshow, and that started updating in the middle of opening ceremonies, and we ran on stage and saved it by started playing some songs, and they thought that was a wonderful thing, and that kind of kick-started us being the hosts. So we did opening ceremonies, we did costume contests, we did closing ceremonies, in addition to whatever performances we were doing, and God bless the folks at CoreCon for going along with a number of zany ideas that we've had over the years, because we've done a number of different shows. Now we've fallen into kind of a cool routine that we're going to probably shake up a little bit next year.
Right.
But because we got connected with Stand Up Records, based out of Minneapolis, which is a totally awesome and legitimate comedy record label.
We're not on Stand Up Records, mind
no,
you. So let's not go there.
We're not label mates, but we work with the head of Stand Up Records, and he loves doing stuff with us and promotional materials.
Dan is a very cool guy, and obviously a supporter of comedy and the arts, and had been involved in for numerous years with a different convention in the cities, and ran a room that unfortunately no longer functions. And so I think he was happy to see that sort of comedy showcase continue on for various reasons. I think probably some personal reasons there too. And we were able to kind of bring that out. And it's a great way to showcase local comedy.
Absolutely.
So that was a great idea that Josh had, and Dan's been supportive of that. And he's made promo materials for the convention, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And also we should say, we know people on Stand Up Records, and we've done shows with them, mm-hmm. again, through connections with the local comedy scene, doing shows for Adam, obviously, mm-hmm. For other touring musical guests who've since moved on to California, like, the Dirty Curls.
Yep, Courtney McLean and the Dirty Curls.
Right.
Valley Meadows. I believe are still around, but I don't know that they're performing at the moment. And so we've had some amazing opportunities. Some really fun stuff just kind of has come very naturally as we've gone and done things. And so we found ourselves in this spot where we have this wide repertoire of things we can do. We've shot music videos at conventions. We run panels. We do performances. We do hosting. And that's gotten us up just this last year, and a couple weeks ago, we went to KeyCon.
Right.
And we're brought in as hosts and MCs there.
And then as part of like getting all the bookings for doing these conventions, we think, you know, let's get back to our roots. Let's let's go back to what we did that kind of started this whole thing, which was we started a podcast, which is just an excuse to write songs and create music. And what, you know, now that we're doing this stuff and we have you know, panels and we have hosting duties and we're hosting, comedy showcases, we're hosting costume contests and, you know, literally going through a dry run of the costume contest, going back, working on jokes for an hour and then debuting those jokes basically improv style and then running costume contests. Now let's make something that we can put down on a CD and give to people or put down and have them download it. So we have product now, which is right. What we should do. We should make product. We should make songs. And so we're trying to make new stuff. So that's where this album came from.
Real quick here, Doug Byerly asks, what is the best treatment for gravy in your eyes?
Oh,
I'm going to say more gravy.
Ah, that's a good call. That's an answer that Paul should have had.
Right.
Stuffing.
Yeah, stuffing. There you go. Mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's the Paul character would say that, definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, so we, a few years ago, thanks to our wonderful producer, Doug.
We made Doug!
We made an album, Doug, that was a conglomeration of our best hits off of the podcast.
More or less, it was just the stuff that we liked from the podcast. Some of them weren't hits. They were just stuff some of that's for us. But we just jammed them all on that CD, and Doug was great enough to help support it, and... So, you know, he graciously allowed me to perform an artistic rendition of him that graces the cover of Doug. Yes. And we've actually sold out of Doug, but it's still available for download. And we just put that out on Bandcamp, so you can look that up either on Facebook or Bandcamp. But Doug was a great record, but, you know, we can't just, like, rest on the laurels of Doug.
No, it had been a long time since we'd actually written because we wrote the lead track off of our new album, Ignorance and Bacon, Skywalker. That's the first track on there. We wrote that back in 2015 with the release of The Force Awakens.
Because we were in, again, because we were doing the comedy scene stuff, we got asked to open up for, and this was a big one.
Right. We played at the Aquarium for, basically, they wanted to have a Star Wars party.
Yeah.
So we helped them set up the show. We brought in a couple of other of our comedian friends. There was another band that was set to close out the evening, and they had, like, some lightsaber duels and things like that. It was a fun thing. We thought, you know what, we don't have a Star Wars song
yet.
Let's write a Star Wars song. And so we did, and that's Skywalker, which is on the new album. We are actually... getting up there in time, so we'll probably want to wrap this
all right
up.
Well, I will say, so that led to, you know, we had a really good showing, and I think people enjoyed the show. So that led to a really big, I think, break for us that we got to open up for Kyle Gass Band. So Kyle Gass the other duo from Tenacious D. It's Jack Black and Kyle Gass. And Kyle Gass, he was performing in Fargo, and they needed an opener. They wanted an opener, and they didn't have one touring with them. So they asked us because we had done that Star Wars gig. So we got to sit there and perform our songs in front of Kyle Gass Band, and got a lot of good compliments, and people enjoyed the show, and we're kind of, you know, stretching out our wings, and we can do comedy shows, we can do clean shows, we can do, you know, opening up for headliner shows, type of stuff like that. We've done comedy shows at, you know, at colleges, at bars, at comedy shows,
comedy clubs.
We've done all sorts of stuff, coffee houses. So we're really become quite comfortable with performing in front of a variety of audiences and understanding the audience. I think that's the most important thing as a performer. You have to do. You have to know your audience.
We actually got to perform at a retirement party.
Yeah,
we were recommended to come in and
which
do
was
that.
In many ways so awkward, but at the same time you learn so much, and the people were fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
And we were rewriting material probably 30 minutes up to 5 minutes before the show, like literally rewriting songs to try to tailor that stuff to the audience because it was a corporate event. So, you know, you learn a lot in those circumstances of what you think can work and what can't. And you try to tailor it to those audiences. And a lot of bands, they build their audience, and, you know, we tailor to the audience we're playing in front of, you know, and, you know, we're not a band. We're a comedy duo.
That's right.
But back to Ignorance and Bacon, because it's great.
So that's the new album there. We started writing songs back in October.
Right.
except for Skywalker and the titular track, Ignorance and Bacon, which we wrote.
Which we had an idea. We only had the title. We knew we wanted a song called Ignorance and Bacon. Yeah. We didn't necessarily know what that was going to be, but it was a line that just came out at a dinner party, I think, and just stuck. Like, you should write, that's like Ignorance and Bacon. It's like, perfect. We're going to write a song about that.
Yeah. So we wrote a bunch of songs. We actually have a number of songs that we didn't have time to complete because we set a time limit for ourselves. We wanted to make sure we had new albums before we went to KeyCon.
Right.
And so there are a number of things we have in the holster when we're ready to start recording again. But overall, I think, not to speak for you, but I think we're pretty happy with how the album turned out.
Yes, very, very happy.
It covers a lot of genres, and it was just a lot of fun. You know, we've got funk on the album, we've got blues, we've got ska. Mm-hmm. We have a song in the style of Cake.
We have a song in the style of like a pop, maybe like a Lord type song.
Yep.
We have references for like Lovecraft in there. We have references mm-hmm. for obviously Star Wars, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Political, maybe some, you know, political satire humor, wah-wah.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. we got that stuff in there too. And then we have like some great Furniture Heaven ads.
Yes. Gotta have more Furniture Heaven ads.
Because we have our own little universe, the Kamikaze Snowman universe, which has the Key Store and Furniture Heaven and this, you know, we could probably build a model at some point and sell those. But the Kamikaze Snowman Town, which from the makers of Termite Town,
yeah,
Kamikaze right. Snowman Land. But Ignorance and Bacon is a lot of fun. Have we released that one yet? Are we going to release that? Is that one online yet?
It is, yeah.
Excellent.
So that and Doug are both up on Bandcamp. Now, it should be noted that over the years, we've created a number of songs. I said we were burning our own CDs and selling those, so there are a lot of old songs that we don't currently have an album for.
Right.
So classic songs like The Lego Man, Bargos, King of the Ocean,
mm-hmm.
Conspiracy, you know.
Conspiracy's on Doug. So
right.
I think what we're saying is we'll probably try to release a compilation album with that old stuff.
Well, we had an idea to do an album called Do Over where we
re-recorded
those. Mm-hmm. But when it came to recording this new album, when we did Ignorance and Bacon, I think we really wanted to do some new stuff.
Right.
And not just rehash. Because we started recording some of those songs and just never quite had the initiative to follow through.
Right.
So at some point, I really want to, because we still do play some of those songs. Male Pattern Baldness is one that we kick off a lot of shows with because it really showcases, defines who our characters are very quickly in the set.
Right.
And it'd be nice to have some of those things for, you know, there have been times people are like, oh, does this one have Lego Man? It's like, no, it doesn't. I'm sorry, you know. So
we're going to dig up the recording of that tune and put it on an album.
We'll figure out something.
We're fighting over that. I just want to – I say just dig up the old ones and put them out. But there's another – you know, maybe we want to re-record those and touch them up. I don't know. We'll see which one wins out.
I just don't like the idea of making people pay for something that's – I mean, I did that once before when that's the best we had.
Oh,
now I feel like we can do
better. He's being modest. It's fantastic.
Yeah. That's debatable. No. They're not terrible, but, you know, we were recording with, like, a computer microphone onto pirated software.
Yeah.
You know, we can do better.
Yeah.
Anyway, we probably should bring this to a close, though, because we've been going just about a full hour here. I know we've got a couple of viewers out there. Do you have any final questions for us before we wrap this up?
I will say the stuff is available on Bandcamp right now. We will be working on eventually getting it on, like, Apple Music streaming services and stuff like that, but we're working
possibly
on that, possibly, maybe,
because that costs money to put onto those things.
But I'm lazy and I want to just stream it from my phone. Josh,
I understand that. You can like download it, you can rip
I don't know
it onto
how
your computer,
I don't know how
put it onto your
how
phone.
Do you do this? Technology is mystical.
Oh,
to me, it's this little man in there and he plays the songs.
Just a caveman.
Any other questions from the audience? Anybody?
And keep in mind also that if you have questions that don't get answered tonight, or if you listen to this later and weren't part of the process, catch us at Anime Fargo, because we will be sitting down and hopefully be taking questions if people have them, so that we can discuss.
Yeah. And we'll have panels where you can literally come and ask us questions as well. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I'm not seeing anything, so I think that's all right. We've been talking about ourselves for a good long time here, and we should probably wrap it up. But we do hope you'll check out Ignorance and Bacon, and Doug as well, because that's out there. You can get that.
We'll put the link out there in the internet's land.
Yes, but please do find us, kamikazesnowman.com. That takes you to our Facebook page. We're at kamikazesnowman on Twitter. Feedback at kamikazesnowman.com if you want to send us an email of some sort for some reason. I don't know why, but you can.
You can, that's for sure.
We also have booking at kamikazesnowman.com if you want to book us for a show.
Right. Price is right.
But check all that out so that you can stay tuned for our potential CD release party or any other shows that do come up. Hopefully, one thing that we would love to do is get to more conventions. We have a lot of fun with our local ones. We've been able to branch out. We've been very fortunate to branch out to Convergence 1 year and KeyCon. Yeah. We'd love to do more of that. So if you know anybody...
If you know of any convention and they're looking for a duo to help come, you know, entertain and
perform,
make
or
people
host,
laugh. And...
Or, I mean, we offer a wide variety of services.
Absolutely.
And, so keep that in mind. And, yeah, I guess we've talked about ourselves for long enough.
And come to Paradox Comics and Cards.
Oh, yeah. God bless
Where
Paradox.
We hang out all the time.
We are here fairly often.
Stream on Thursday. We didn't even mention that. We stream other Thursday. We're streaming tomorrow at Paradox, this Twitch channel right here. So come see us on Twitch, and we'll be streaming, I believe, what's the game we're playing?
It's
about?
Called Dread.
Dread.
It's a role-playing game, horror role-playing game, where instead of rolling dice to determine if you are successful at skill checks and things, you have a block tower.
A block tower.
Kind
looks
of like
eerily
Jenga.
Like a Jenga game, but it's not the same.
Not specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you know, remove a piece like you would if you were playing.
And if it falls over,
something bad happens to you.
You might die.
A lot of times it could be death or, you know. So it's very good at building tension that way because it starts off very easy.
Right.
And then as you go and suddenly this one really, you know, you need to escape the killer or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
Now it's very tense and exciting. So check that out. Come to Paradox. Check out ParadoxCNC.com, at ParadoxCNC on Twitter. We will be back also doing podcasts. Paul won't be, probably. I don't think you've been invited.
Yeah, they don't invite me to these things.
Yeah, for good reason.
I ruin things.
Yeah.
I come to them and then I ruin them.
But we will be doing a series of podcasts Tuesday the 19th in the evening, starting at 6 o'clock. We're still lining up some guests and getting that figured out. But usually we get like professional comic book creators and comic book professionals. That's the
right
way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes professional magic players, board game designers. So it's a lot of fun. So you can check that out and you know, get a chance to get some insight into those things, maybe ask some questions to them.
And also, I know it's a ways out, but Extra Life is coming up in November, and we'll be hyping Extra Life. We have a team. We do that every year.
Yep.
So we'll also be looking for support and donations for the local organization for Extra Life as we will do the 24-hour gaming game-a-thon in November as well. But you'll see more of us of that if you like us on Facebook and find us there. So.
And that goes to benefit Children's Miracle Network. I don't know if you said that.
I did not. Yeah, it's not like we're just
doing
it for get money to play games. No, not for us.
Right. So with that, thank you again for tuning in, whether it be live or catching it later on the website or iTunes. And we will see you next time on the DoxCast.
Bye.
This was the DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clock's cast. Until next time, be gone.